Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a fantastic show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working harder for you. You want all that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 years from now, like every financial advisor tells you, but today, so you can live the life that you love, to do what you want, when you want, with those that you want to be with. And so I'm proud to have you guys on because you're not just here about creating freedom and comfort for yourself, but you're also here to create a ripple effect in others' lives as you prosper too. And so, guys, I appreciate you being a part of this. I appreciate you guys sharing the show and becoming a big part of this movement and allowing me as well to create a ripple effect through your life too. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's not just the ebook on there, but we got blogs. We got other great stuff that's on there too to give you some great, you know, great advice and that sort of thing. So check it out at moneyripples.com. So today I want to bring on a special guest here that you know I've known through a mastermind group that I'm a part of. I know you've heard other guests that have come from the same real estate group, this high caliber group. Well, this guy is no exception, and his forte is in the commercial real estate space. And so if you've been thinking, hey, I'd love to get into apartment deals or something that's awesome, this is the guy you should be listening to. So the guy here is Tim Brotz. Now, Tim is the CEO and founder of Legacy Wealth Holdings, which is a real estate investment firm that acquires and transforms these distressed apartment buildings into these high-yielding assets from their portfolio. They love it when they get people that are bad investors, right? People that don't do a great job, and they can get it to where they buy instant appreciation or forced appreciation, not because they're banking on it, but because they can create it. And interesting thing with him is that in 2009, he actually bought his first duplex on a credit card out in Charleston, South Carolina, but has now today built that portfolio to over 3,200 rental units across six states. And so now he's here to educate and empower people to become financially free through real estate. And I've got him here for you. So Tim, welcome to our show.
Chris, man, excited to be here. And as I'm listening to your intro, not of me, but of your show, man, it just resonates because it's everything that I stand for too. So I'm fired up, man. I'm excited to share as much as I possibly can over the next 20 minutes or so. And I appreciate you having me, buddy. Thank you for all the value that you provide.
Hey, you bet. Yeah, you'll definitely not hear me say anything about, hey, guys, mutual funds are awesome. You definitely will not hear that from out of my mouth.
Nope.
And so, and that's what these people are really here to listen for. And I'm sure I'm kind of echoing, you know, their voices that aren't speaking right now, but what they're thinking is, hey, we're looking for answers, right? We want hope. We want that inspiration. And I know you've got that. And not to mention, you even have investors too that invest through your deals, which you have as well. So I'm excited to hear about that later as well. So tell us more about like what even led you down the path of real estate. Why did you even take that path?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm 34 now. And when I was going through college, 03 to 07, worked in construction. I had a painting company in the summer. And then I worked for one of these big home builders as an internship and, just realized, man, like I was a money, you know, driven young guy, 20 years old, you know, I'm like, I want to go make a lot of money. So, real estate was the path. And so I'm from Cleveland, Ohio originally. I moved out to New York City. My brother was living out there and I became a commercial real estate agent and I would broker wow. retail spaces. And, you know, I knew real estate was the industry. I didn't realize what my niche or what, my strategy would be in order to make money. So I became a broker and then I brokered my first space. It took me about, I don't know, 8 months to broker. And it was 400 square feet. We signed a lease for $10,000 a month on it with a 12-year term and 4% escalations. And that was just on one 400 square foot space in Manhattan. And this landlord had another seven retail spaces and about 15 stories of apartments above it. And I remember just doing the math on this thing and being like, I'm on the wrong side of the coin. Instead of brokering real estate, I need to be owning real estate. And, you know, I went down this rabbit hole of residual income and passive income, and how do I get off the hamster wheel of trading my time for money in the transactional space? And I still got caught up in that because I thought that I needed to go and stockpile a bunch of my own cash in order to get into apartments or get into holding rental property. And the reality is there's a lot of private money out there where you don't have to go out and use your own cash. You can raise private money if you structure it in a way that's a win-win for your investors and for you. You can get into deals without using any of your cash. And so over the course of time, I got into wholesaling, you know, and then I was doing some retail, like the HGTV flip kind of stuff that you see. And then I met people who said, hey, I got money, but I don't have maybe the bandwidth or the knowledge or the experience to go out and find deals and operate them. And Tim, why don't I invest with you? And you do the work, I'll bring the money, and we'll figure out a way to carve it up. And that's what we ended up doing. I started building a little bit of a rental portfolio that way, had an exclusive partnership with a couple guys and built up about 150 units. Life happens. We just decided to dissolve that company back in about 2015 and liquidate all those. And I've just been building my own portfolio over the past 4 years. Yeah, so I started fresh in August of 2015. And since then, I've built a portfolio of a little over 3,200 units, $250 million of value of property. And what's awesome is, like you said, is we don't speculate on appreciation. We don't buy at a retail price and then hope the value goes up over time like a lot of investors do in the commercial real estate space. Mm-hmm. We buy value-add properties. It's a lot more work on my end, my team's part, and any joint venture operators that we're working with. But it's a way for us to get into a deal at a low basis. So on that $250 million of property, my total debt, meaning bank loans, plus equity, meaning private money loans, is just shy of $150 million. So we have $100 million of equity in our deals, and that's deals that great. We just bought over the past few years. You know, everybody else, they buy a $10 million apartment building for $10 million and hope it appreciates over time. I don't like doing that. I like the idea of buying distressed asset, fixing it up, creating equity by putting that sweat equity in there, and forcing appreciation, creating that appreciation and doing it that way. I think then if you're a low enough cost basis in any real estate endeavor, it at least gives you options, right? So you have options. Do you hold it? Do you sell it? Do you refinance? You can sell or finance. You can get creative on a lot of different exit strategies if you're at a low enough basis. And that's one of the things that I see a lot of investors not doing right now, which is they're just, you know, financing is easy to come by, money is easy to come by. So they're just going out and buying whatever they can. And they're not really diving deep into the deal. Is it a good deal or is it just a property that's being listed? Right. And so you got to be careful and just make sure you're still doing your due diligence, because as we all know, we're at probably the peak of a market right now. And what you don't want to be doing is holding the bag on properties, at retail price, you know, and all of a sudden the values drop. So, man, that's a little bit about our strategy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We had, just kind of supporting what you just said, we had one of our friends, Corey Peterson, you know, we had him on the show a few months back, and he was mentioning about, you know, apartment deals he's been doing. And he was talking about a lot of the amateurs in that space, right? Because, and I even was kind of blunt with him. I just said, hey, listen, there's all kinds of people offering apartment deals because that's what everybody wants. I mean, even my own clients are like, I don't want to do a single family homes anymore. I want to do multifamily apartments and things like that. And he said, you know what, honestly, I don't know where all these people are finding deals, because I'm only finding maybe one a year, like a one good deal. What's been your experience there?
Yeah. So I am, Corey's a great marketer and he's a good friend of mine too. Does a great job with what he does. He focuses mostly on broker relationships and gets a lot of his deals from his management company.
Right.
I've taken a lot of strategies that I use in the single family realm to find off market direct to seller deals. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've been finding deals. You have to realize brokers, there's not as much red tape and regulation in commercial real estate as there is in residential. So where in residential, a broker has to list a property in 72 hours in order to protect the landowner who isn't really like a very sophisticated, or they're not, you know, it could be a little old lady who just inherited the property because her husband died. She's never dealt with the finances before. And there need to be regulations in place to protect that little old lady, right? Yeah. In the commercial, you're buying property for investment purposes. You're assumed to be a big boy or a big girl. And if that's the case, there's not as much regulation. So what you need to understand is if you're looking for broker relationships, those brokers don't want to share a commission, right? Mm-hmm. And if they don't have to list the property, they're not going to. They know who the top 10, 15 buyers in town are. They're going to get a listing. They're going to shop it to those top 10 or 15 buyers, and they're going to sell it off market if it's a good deal. If it's not a good deal, guess what? It hits the MLS or it hits LoopNet, and then they try to get some newbie putts to come in and pay above retail price for it, you know? And that's right. The reality of the industry that we live in. So we do things like, you know, we still drive for dollars. We dial for dollars. We do direct mail. We do ringless voicemails and text message marketing. We do email marketing. We do all sorts of things. And you see me on social media, like my entire presence is all about, I buy apartment buildings, and I'm the guy who buys apartment buildings that are over A and B class areas, over 100 units nationwide. I coach on this stuff. So I have a lot of people who send me deals on a regular basis. And, when the market is this tight, you have to get really creative and think outside the box on how to find deals. But I mean, man, we buy about 2 buildings a month. And they're always, you know, my model is the same as it was when I was flipping houses. I got to be all in for 65% of the after repair value. I just need to be in for 65% of the stabilized value. And then my model is, instead of selling the property, I have to go and I just go on and refinance it at maybe like a 70 or 75% loan. And I cash out, you know, the short-term acquisition loan. I cash out my investors. And then we only have, you know, house money in play at that point. So it's a pretty quick turnaround. We don't have our investors cash in for very long, about 12 to 18 months on average. And then we're able to cash them out. And then we hold the property and really build long-term wealth. I see a lot of investors nowadays in apartment buildings, their strategy is to buy it. And maybe they do some value add. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just speculate it's going to appreciate every year for the next 5 years. And then their strategy is to sell it in 5 years. That doesn't make sense to me. At the end of the day, you just have a high paying job. You're still in a transactional game. You're not building real wealth. And for me, I like the idea of doing these heavier value adds, really finding distressed properties or things that have real big upside to it, forcing the appreciation in the first 12 months, you know, by making the improvements to the property, by putting good management in place, by screening the tenants and taking care of the units, making them desirable places for people to live. And then the value, you know, I'm all into a building for maybe $6.5 million, purchase price, renovations, holding cost, $6.5 million. And then it appraises for $10 million. Mm-hmm. If I go and get a loan at 75% loan to value, that's $7.5 million. I'm able to pay off the acquisition loan. I'm able to pay off my investors. And then we're all able to hang on to the property in perpetuity. And one of the things that just differs between me and Corey, like he sells his properties or he refinances, he cashes his investors out. I still leave my investors in because I think it develops a more longer term partnership, you know? Yeah. And for me, if I leave them in and somebody else dangles a carrot that might be a higher interest rate than what I can maybe offer, they're like, hey, I'm not interested because Tim's my long-term partner. So I pay a fixed return while the money's in play. And then they get all their money back and then they still keep equity in perpetuity. So now they have a percentage of any refi proceeds. My investors get a percentage of any cash flow in perpetuity for as long as we own the building, the next 10, 15, 20 years. And then whenever the building sells, you know, I mean, you think about it, there's still, if I'm getting a $7.5 million loan on a property that's worth $10 million, there's $2.5 million of equity in there right then and there. And the investors, I usually carve up about 20% of it, and give it to the investors in perpetuity. And so that's worth $500,000 to the investors. And as you allow the property to appreciate over 10 or 15 years, and as you allow normal principal pay down to occur, all of a sudden that $2.5 million turns into closer to like $7 or $8 million in over the course of 10, 12 years. And so it can really build up a lot of wealth and, you know, works out from a tax advantage standpoint too. So it's pretty cool. We've been able to structure it in a way that works for our investors, works for us. And, yeah, man, makes a lot of sense.
And you deal with accredited investors only or both? Non-accredited?
So I've been doing, So I'm actually launching, I have a 506B, which is non-accredited and accredited, but you have to have a relationship with the people before they can invest in one of your deals. So, people reach out to me on my website. I'm not allowed to pitch them a deal because I don't have a pre-existing relationship. And we stay very compliant in that space, right? I have a coaching program and I'm pretty active on social media. So I keep things very black and white. I don't get into the gray area. So I develop a relationship with the investors over time and over a few months and really get to understand what they're looking for. And then from there, once we've developed that relationship and we really have a good understanding of what that looks like and we can, if we were ever investigated, we could say, hey, we knew this person. We talked to them for several months, exchanged emails, phone calls, really got to know each other before I ever brought them a deal. That's what the SEC looks for. So we stay very compliant on that front. I am in the process of launching a 506C fund, which is for accredited investors only. And what that means is an individual who makes $200,000 a year or for the past 2 years and expects to make it this year as well, or a married person who makes $300,000 a year for the past 2 years with the expectation to make it this year as well, mm-hmm. or somebody who has a net worth over $1 million excluding their primary residence.
Right.
So that's for accredited investors only. That's a 506C fund. And that's kind of where we're transitioning to. We have a lot of deals and a lot of access to capital. And so we're just kind of moving more into that space right now.
Well, yeah. And if people do want to reach out to you, how would they best do that?
I'm pretty active on social media, or you can go to my, you know, just look me up on Facebook. I'm sure you'll share my info, Tim yeah. Bratz. And then my company's legacywealthholdings.com. And you can go there and inquire and connect with me on that as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm always offering as much, you know, free content and free value as I possibly can. And I'm real active on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, and you know, and I respond to emails and I respond to Facebook messages and all that kind of stuff. So it's not like you're talking to an assistant. You're actually chatting with me. And if there's anything that I can do to provide from a resource standpoint or connection, happy to help people out any way that I can.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. Absolutely.
Appreciate it, bud.
Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, where do you see the biggest opportunity right now? Like when you're looking for deals and whatnot, like where do you see it? Like, man, this is what makes it so awesome right now to invest in this kind of commercial property. Where are you seeing that right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, the financing is really, really good right now. You know, I just closed 500 units last month that were, our interest rate was 3.8% fixed for 10 years. You know, 12 years, 2 years of interest only, and then it's principal and amortization for the next 10 years after that. So
nice.
That allows you to be, you know, to make the numbers work with how hot the market is right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as interest rates go up, you know, your purchasing power comes down, and so mm-hmm. you'd be able to buy it. But it still makes a lot of sense because every month I make a mortgage payment, I'm pretty much taking money from my right pocket and putting it in my left pocket because there's so much principal pay down because the rates are so low. So that helps. But from a standpoint, I'm usually looking for opportunity, right? And that usually comes with distressed properties, which typically stems from distressed management, property management.
Right.
That usually means they're not taking care of the property and they're not screening the tenants. And mm-hmm. I remember early on in my real estate career, I met with a housing court judge, not in trouble. He came out and spoke at an event. I went and talked to him and he said something I'll always remember. He said 99% of landlord problems will be eliminated if you take care of the property and you screen your tenants. Sure, there's a crazy that slips through the cracks every once in a while and you have that 1% of headaches, but 99% of your problems are eliminated if the property is well taken care of and the tenants are screened properly. And if you do those two things, it's, you know, from a management perspective, it's, you know, and so that's what we do. We renovate the heck out of these buildings on the front end and mm-hmm. make sure that they're in really good shape. They're all sealed up. They got new windows. You know, we redo the roofs. We redo the parking lots, the stairs. There's no cracks or anything anywhere. So we do really good renovations on the outside to make sure it's all sealed up. We improve all the mechanicals and make sure that they're all serviced properly. And then what we do is we renovate the units in a way that maintains, you know, keeps them clean, safe, functional, aesthetically pleasing. And it really hardens the property as well. Your turnover is going to be your biggest expense in owning rental properties. And mm-hmm. and what you don't want is a lot of tenant turnover. Or if you do have tenant turnover, you want to be able to turn the unit over very quickly so you can put a new tenant in place. So we do things like I don't put carpet in any of my units because you know it holds dirt, it holds bugs, and it takes an entire day for it to dry after it's steam cleaned. Instead, we put luxury vinyl tile that looks like hardwood floors. It's beautiful. It doesn't wear down. It's water resistant, so you can put it in the kitchens and the bathrooms also. So we have one type of flooring throughout the entire place. Creates a lot of continuity throughout the entire apartment. Right. And if a piece breaks, I can just click it out, click a new one back in, and we're done. We don't have to replace all of it.
Right.
And it doesn't hold bugs. You know, if a tenant turns over and we have to turn over the unit, we go in there, we sweep it, we mop it. It's done in 15 minutes versus an entire day. So we do things like that. I don't put ceiling fans in my units because they have too many moving parts, dangling, breaking, rattling. And so we just put those flush mount globe lights in all of our units. We do things like that to harden the property, and it lasts longer, and we can turn over units faster, so that way we have a higher return on our investment because we don't have as much vacancy and properties sitting vacant.
Yeah. That's a great way to reduce risk and maximize profits. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're talking about before the air too. One of the big opportunities that, you know, I know we've both seen the last, you know, few years or so is that there's been a lot of really inexperienced people buying up real estate. And now those ones have mismanaged, and you know, they were hoping for passive income, realizing that it was more of a headache, and now they want out of it. They're distressed, right?
Yeah,
I think there's a lot more opportunity for that now than ever.
So the market's been pretty good for, you know, the past 4 or 5 years, and even an operator who screws up can still make some money, right?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing not as much of that, except for, you know, we were talking about white collar professionals and entrepreneurs who are not in real estate, who make some money in their traditional business, and they're looking to then passively invest or buy up some real estate. And they think, just because I'm driving down the street and I see apartment buildings every day, I can go and buy and operate apartment buildings. It is a brand new business. That'd be like you and me walking into a restaurant saying, oh, just because we eat here, we could probably run this place. Very different, right? Like there's a lot of nuances that come into it. And majority of the properties that I buy come from really sharp entrepreneurs that don't know what they're doing in the real estate space. I mean, I even bought, I bought 200 units from a guy that owned a cabinet making company. Like, this guy's already in the trades a little bit, and, but didn't know how to manage and operate. He's working with contractors every single day and investors every day. He thinks he can go out and invest and didn't realize it's a new business. He did not have a joint venture partner who was local to the building. He didn't know how to interview management companies and how to ask the right questions on a monthly basis to make sure he wasn't getting robbed. And I see this happen all the time. I bought 700 units last summer from two stockbrokers on Wall Street. Each of these guys makes $5 million a year, you know, up in New York City. And they have some money to go deploy. They buy 700 apartment units. They don't know what they're doing. the management company robs them, and they don't have a local partner. They don't know the questions to ask. Again, the same exact scenario. We come in, we're able to buy it for pennies on the dollar because they said, hey, if I keep on taking my eye off the ball in my traditional business, I'm going to lose both the real estate and my traditional business. And so they end up letting the real estate go so they can go back and continue making money in their traditional business. If they would have just partnered up with somebody who knew what they were doing, passively invested and kind of, you know, understood or joint ventured in a way where they got working with somebody who actually had some sophistication in the apartment building or, you know, real estate realm, they wouldn't have gone through that, you know? And, and one of the things that I see a lot of people do is, you know, especially coming from residential, when you're flipping a house or you have a single family rental, you know, if you get three or four people carving up the profits, there's not enough money to go around and feed everybody on a single family, you know? But when you're talking about an apartment building that's $10 million and 200 units, and you got millions of dollars of equity in these things, you can partner up with people and you don't need 100% of a grape, right? You can be okay with 25% of a watermelon. There's a lot more juice in 25% of a watermelon than there is in 100% of a grape. So it allows you to really focus on what you're good at. Maybe somebody's good at bringing money. Maybe somebody's good at operations. Maybe somebody's good at finding the deal. Maybe somebody's good at property management. And even if you had three, four, five people involved, you can still carve it up where everybody makes a great income from that property. So, and you're able to do more and be happier because you're focusing on what you're really good at, right? Which usually is a driver for you. And at the same time, anything that you're not good at, somebody who's doing it better, you can partner up with and bring them into the project. So I really like, that's what's been a real game changer, because now I can partner up with all A players and I can focus on what I like to do, which is raising money for the most part. And the marketing side of things drives deals, it drives money. And then that fuels the engines of my operational side, which can then go and deploy money into good deals. And we can cherry pick the best deals and marry it up with our investors, and it makes a lot of sense.
I love it. Yeah. If my listeners are anything like my own one-on-one clients, I'll tell you that most of them have zero interest in trying to manage it themselves, because they've learned, as I keep reminding them, that ignorance is not bliss. It's expensive. You don't want to be that person. It's much better to partner with people that have, you know, created those relationships and have created that those, you know, the right questions to ask and knowing where to find the right deals, and then partnering up with those people too. So I appreciate you offering that, connection there, because you've got that. Well, cool. Well, I appreciate you being on, Tim. Like, this has been awesome. Great wealth of knowledge and exciting stuff. Like, I'm really excited to see this. So,
yeah, man, I appreciate you. And again, all the value that you always provide, Chris. You're a stud, man. And I love what you're doing, and you're making, like you say, the ripple effect, right? It's not only the people that you're directly influencing, but it's the people that they're influencing, and you're really creating. I'm all about that legacy wealth and legacy, developing legacy. And it's not always about passing down treasure and passing down money or passing down real estate. It's about passing down knowledge, you know, and improving people's lives, because, you know, you don't want to give a fish. You want to teach them how to fish, you know, feed them for a lifetime and let that ripple effect take place. So, dude, I love everything that you're doing. I love everything you stand for, and I appreciate you.
Well, cool. Well, thanks again for being on the show, and everybody else, thanks for listening and tuning in, and, you know, check out his website, check out legacywealthholdings.com, check out Tim's Facebook page. We'll have it here in the show notes, but man, if this resonate with you at all, check it out. Like, you know, investigate, look into this, because there are an abundance of opportunities everywhere. You know, you just got to know where to find them. And, and this is where it's so awesome. So everybody, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.